easily identifiable as such since they wore no clothing, and their skins were translucent. They appeared to have bones carved from rock. Fascinating, Sazed thought. They make their own bones. I really do have a new culture to explore. A whole new society. Art, religion, mores, gender interactions. The prospect was so exciting that, for a moment, even the end of the world seemed trivial by comparison. He had to remind himself to focus. He needed to investigate their religion first. Other things were secondary.
Chandra, who are you? Which bones do you wear?
You are going to be surprised, I think, Sazed said as gently as he could. For I am no Chandra. My name is Sazed, Keeper of Terrace, and I have been sent to speak with the first generation.
Both Chandra guards started.
You don't have to let me pass, Sazed said. Of course, if you don't take me into your homeland, then I'll have to leave and tell everyone on the outside where it is.
The guards turned to each other.
Come with us, one of them finally said.
Kolos also had little chance of breaking free. Four spikes and their diminished mental capacity left them fairly easy to dominate. Only in the throes of a blood frenzy did they have any form of autonomy. Four spikes also made them easier for Allomancers to control. In our time it required a Duralumin push to take control of a Chandra. Kolos, however, could be taken by a determined regular push, particularly when they were frenzied.
67. Elland and Vin stood atop the Phadrix City fortifications. The rock ledge had once held the bonfires they'd watched in the night sky. She could see the blackened scar from one of them just to her left. It felt good to be held by Elland again. His warmth was a comfort, particularly when looking out of the city, over the field that Elland's army had once occupied. The Kolos army was growing. It stood silently in the blizzard-like ash, thousands strong. More and more of the creatures were arriving each day, amassing to an overwhelming force.
"Why don't they just attack?" Yeoman asked with annoyance.
He was the only other one who stood on the overlook. Ham and Set were down below, seeing to the army's preparation. They'd need to be ready to defend the moment that the Kolos assaulted the city.
"He wants us to know just how soundly he's going to beat us," Vin said. "Plus," she added in her mind, "he's waiting. Waiting on that last bit of information. Where is the Atium?"
She'd fooled Ruin. She'd proven to herself that it could be done. Yet she was still frustrated. She felt like she'd spent the last few years of her life reacting to every wiggle of Ruin's fingers. Each time she thought herself clever, wise, or self-sacrificing, she discovered that she'd simply been doing his will the entire time. It made her angry. But what could she do?
"I have to make Ruin play his hand," she thought. "Make him act. Expose himself."
For a brief moment, back in Yeoman's throne room, she had felt something amazing. With the strange power she'd gained from the mists, she'd touched Ruin's own mind, via Marsh, and seen something therein. Fear. She remembered it, distinct and pure. At that moment, Ruin had been afraid of her. That's why Marsh had fled. Somehow, she'd taken the power of the mists into her, then used them to perform allomancy of surprising might. She'd done it before, when fighting the Lord Ruler in his palace. Why could she only draw on that power at random, unpredictable times? She'd wanted to use it against Zane, but had failed. She'd tried a dozen times during the last few days, just as she'd tried during the days following the Lord Ruler's death. She'd never been able to access even a hint of that power. It struck like a thunderclap. A massive, overpowering quake rolled across the land. The rock ledges around Phadrix broke, some of them tumbling to the ground. Bin remained on her feet, but only with the help of Pewter, and she barely snatched Yeoman by the front of his obligator robes as he careened and almost fell from their ledge. Ellen grabbed her arm, reinforcing her as the sudden quake shook the land. Inside the city, several buildings fell. Then all went still. Bin breathed heavily, forehead slicked with sweat, Yeoman's robes clutched in her grip. She glanced at Ellen.
That one was far worse than the previous ones, he said, cursing quietly to himself. We're doomed, Yeoman said softly, forcing himself to his feet. If the things you say are true, then not only is the Lord Ruler dead, but the thing he spent his life fighting has now come to destroy the world.
We've survived this long, Elland said firmly. We'll make it yet. Earthquakes may hurt us, but they hurt the Kolos too. Look, and you'll see that some of them were crushed by toppling rocks. If things get rough up here, we can retreat inside the cavern.
And will it survive quakes like that one? Yeoman asked.
Better than the buildings up here, Will. None of this was built for earthquakes. But if I know the Lord Ruler, he anticipated the quakes and picked caverns that were solid and capable of withstanding them.
Yeoman seemed to take little comfort in the words, but Vin smiled. Not because of what Ellen said, but because of how he said it. Something about him had changed. He seemed confident in a way he'd never been before. He had some of the same idealistic air he'd expressed when he'd been a youth at court. Yet he also had the hardness of the man who'd led his people in war. He'd finally found the balance, and oddly enough, it had come from deciding to retreat.
He does have a point, however, Vin, Ellen said in a softer tone. We need to figure out our next step. Ruin obviously intended to defeat us here, but he's been pushed back for a time at least. What now?
We have to trick him, she thought. Perhaps use the same strategy Yeoman used on me?
She paused, considering the idea. She reached up, fingering her earring. It had been mangled after its trip through Marsh's head, of course, but it had been a simple matter to have a smith bend it back into shape. The first time she'd met with Yeoman, he'd given her back the earring. It had seemed like a strange move, giving metal to an allomancer. Yet in a controlled environment, it had been very clever. He'd been able to test and see if she had any hidden metals, all the while reserving